The message this evening, Dean Burgon's confidence in the King James Bible. That issue was raised in this book, The King James Only Controversy, by James White. Dr. DeVito handled that in very good fashion earlier today, but one thing I wanted to comment on this particular book, and that was found on page 91, the first page of his chapter 5, he calls the King James Only Camp. The King James Only Camp. And it concerns Dean John William Burgon. And I think we ought to defend Burgon on this one point, especially here at the Dean Burgon Society, 1995. But Mr. White says as follows, see if I can get a good light on the subject. It is my opinion many of the great scholars of the past who have defended the Byzantine textual tradition, that includes the textual receptus, cannot honestly be included in the KJV only camp, even though they are often cited as if they were. Men like Dean Burgon, F.H.A. Scrivener, H.C. Hoskier, all of whom were true scholars of the first rank, were not KJV only advocates. All saw the need for revision in the KJV and in the CR as well. Unquote, and so on. He goes on. Dean Burgon said there were a few minor touches of the textual receptus, not many, but he never said there's any need for a change in the King James Bible. Until his death, he was King James only, and that's all he used. So we wanted to take that up, if we could. In this number 804 that's back in the book table downstairs, when and how would Dean Burgon revise the textual receptus in the King James Bible? We take some of those quotes and materials from Dean John Burgon's book, Revision Revised. The publisher of this book, King James Only Controversy, James White, was kind enough on my request to send me some of the galley proofs of the book before it was published, the things that concerned my own work and concerned me. And the man said that there are any things that are misrepresentations. Let me see if I can get the exact page of his letter. He was the one in charge of the publications committee. He said, let me see if I can find it here. I seem to be all thumbs. I know it is here. I got so many pages here. Where is it? Yes, here it is, Bethany House. His name is Kevin W. Johnson, senior editor, adult nonfiction. He says, if you feel your positions have been misrepresented, we do need you to provide as much specifics. We truly appreciate your interest in to communicate your concerns with us and so on. And so this is, I wrote back, and one of the things I said was in the area where it says Dean John William Burgon was not the King James only. In other words, he didn't use only the King James in his preaching and teaching. Now, that doesn't mean we're using King James only as far as the Ruckmanite position. That's a completely different position with the English corrected, the Hebrew and Greek. That's not what we're talking about. But I said on page 3 of my corrections, I had about 6 pages of corrections. I don't believe they changed the one of them. Dean John William Burgon and the KJV Only Camp. On the first page of Chapter 5, the King James Only Camp, Mr. White included Dean Burgon as not being included in the King James Only Camp. If you define the term properly, as I have done in the enclosed article, the Dean Burgon News, I gave him a copy of that, which we talked about, Dean Burgon would have believed position number 1, as I have outlined it, just as the Dean Burgon Society and I would be. Mr. White included Dean Burgon in the group and said that all saw the need for a revision of the KJV and the TR as well. This is a factual error and a misrepresentation of his position, and so on. Well, let's take a look at a few of Dean Burgon's own words and see his confidence in the King James Bible. I believe his own words would be the better than others. Dr. Hollowood did an excellent job reading that paper this afternoon in regard to the English Revised Version. Look at what he says. The English, as well as the Greek, of the newly revised version is hopelessly at fault. He was after the only other revision or version of the scriptures in his day, the English Revised Version. And he's going after it, and he says it's hopelessly at fault. It is to me simply unintelligible how a company of scholars can have spent 10 years in elaborating such a very unsatisfactory product, their uncouth phraseology, and their jerky sentences, their pedantic obscurity, their unidiomatic English, contrast painfully with, notice, the happy turns of expression, the music of the cadences, the felicities of the rhythm of our authorized version. Was Burgon worshiping the English Revised Version, or did he go along with the King James Bible? He was a King James Bible advocate. The transition from one to the other, as the Bishop of Lincoln remarked, is like exchanging a well-built carriage. That's the King James Bible, in Burgon's opinion, in our opinion. Exchanging a well-built carriage for a vehicle without springs, in which you get jolted to death on a newly mended and rarely traversed road. But the Revised Version is inaccurate as well, exhibits defective scholarship, I mean in countless places. If Burgon were living today, would he go after these versions like the Dean Burgon Society that takes his name? I believe he would. The English Revised Version is but one example of how he would go after the versions of our day. Here's another one. Our KJV silently revised. Notice what he says about that. With some slight modifications, our authorized version, English version, has been silently revised. Notice that. That's what these fellows do in their version. Silently. Silently, I say, for in the margin of the English, no record is preserved of the underlying textual changes which have been introduced by the revisionists. On the contrary, use has been made of that margin to insinuate suspicion and distrust in countless particulars as to the authenticity of the text, which has been suffered to remain unaltered, unquote. Revision Revised, Roman numeral 30. Now, the intrusion and insinuation of suspicion and distrust, isn't that what we have in our versions today? The New American Standard with its footnotes and revisions and changes, the New King James, the New International Version, the Revised Standard, the New Revised, insinuated. Our authorizer silently revised. That's tricky. When people don't know that in 5,604 places, the Greek text, the Textus Receptus, has been altered by Westcott and Hort. If people don't know there's 5,604 places, that's silently revised. If they don't know that the 5,604 places include 9,970 Greek words, 30 words short of 10,000 Greek words that either have been added to that Greek text, subtracted from the Greek text, or changed in some other way. If people don't know that, they pick up one of these new versions and they're not aware of that, silent revision. He would be against these versions of today. His confidence in the King James Bible. What about superseding the King James Bible? He said, this is Revision Revised, page 2. Not unreasonable, therefore, is the expectation entertained by its authors that the New English Version, that's the English Revised Version of 1881 that Dr. Hollywood talked about and all these different things in the earlier speech, founded on this new Greek text, is destined to supersede the authorized version of 1611. That's their expectation. And that's the expectation, I dare say, to every version and perversion that's come down the pike since the King James Bible in English. That's their expectation. For may the expectations of the wicked be thwarted by our God. And I don't say they're all wicked, but that's a quotation pretty much from Scripture. And this is what we're dealing with. They want to be king. The New International wants to be king. And they will stop at nothing to be king. As my son Don Jr. said this afternoon, they will fraudulently tell us that the New International Version is on 6th or 7th grade reading level and understanding level, and our Prince of Versions is at the 14th grade level, sophomore in college, or a 12th grade level, or a 10th grade level, which is a lie when it's at 6th and 7th, just the same as the rest of them. This is fraudulent lying. What about blotting out precious words? Page 118 of Revision Revised. We shall therefore pass on when we have asked the revisionists in turn how they have dared so effectually to blot out these many precious words from the book of life that no mere English reader, depending on the revised version for his knowledge of the Gospels, can by possibility suspect their existence, unquote. Blotted them out. Gone. Taken away. John 6:47. The Lord Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." But you look at these new versions, New American Standard, New International, New King James, in the footnotes at least, New Berkeley, all those different ones, Revised Standard, New Revised, blotted them out. Precious words. "He that believeth hath everlasting life," they say. "He that believes has everlasting life," they say. "But not he that believeth on me." Precious words blotted out with no reference, no footnotes in many cases, gone. So that the poor sinner who reads in these perversions, John 6:47, will go away to hell because he thinks just by believing he can have everlasting life. He believes in Buddha, Shinto, Muhammad, atheism, communism, the truth for any of it. And this is blotting out precious, precious words. If Burgon were living today, would he go after the versions? Yes. Would he stand for the King James? Yes. Would it be only the King James? Only the King James. We'll see. The old is better. Notice this. Revision Revised, page 144. Thus it happens that we never spent half an hour over the unfortunate production before us, that's the English Revised Version of 1881, without exclaiming with one of the Gospel, "The old is better." Now we can say that if every one of these new versions come down the pike. The old is better. And that's the King James. Changes of any sort are unwelcome in such a book as the Bible. But the changes that the changes have been made for the worse offends greatly. The old is better. The KJV giants. Let's take a look at some giants. The opposite of a giant is a dwarf, I guess, a pygmy, yes. Thumbelina. You've heard of that little whatever. There's a song about Thumbelina. No bigger than a thumb. If you want to use the scriptural shortness of people, you'd have to go to the book of Job, wouldn't you? Bildad the shoe height. You've heard of him. The KJV giants. Notice from Revision Revised, page 155. "But what supremely annoys us in the work just now under review is that the schoolboy method of translation, already noticed, is here, there, and exhibited in constant operation throughout. It becomes oppressive. We are never permitted to believe that we are in the company of scholars who are altogether masters of their own language. Their solicitude ever seems to be twofold: to exhibit a singular indifference to the proprieties of English speech, while they maintain a servile adherence, etymological or idiomatic, as the case may be, to the Greek. Two, right or wrong, to part company from William Tyndale and the giants who gave us our authorized version." Does that sound like Burgon doesn't hold to the King James Bible, the only one he's going to hold to? A contrast. If he were here today, I maintain, he would take a position with the giants who gave us our authorized version. No question, those men did not hold a candle to those giants. Then he calls it a work of real genius, the King James Bible. From Revision Revised, page 167, "The plain fact being that the man of 1611, above all, that William Tyndale, 77 years before them, produced a work of real genius." Does that not sound like he wants to revise the King James Bible? Throw it away? And does it sound like he can't be King James only in our camp? Seizing with generous warmth the meaning and intention of the sacred writers, and perpetually varying the phrase, as they felt or fancied that evangelists and apostles would have varied it, had they had to express themselves in English. Whereas the men of 1881, that's the English Revised Version, have fulfilled their task in what can only be described as a spirit of servile pedantry. The grammarian, pure and simple, crops up everywhere. We seem never to rise above the atmosphere of the lecture room, unquote. Praise God for the real genius of the King James Bible. And Dean Burgon was with us. Then about the grace and delightful rhythm of the King James Bible. Even this, however, is not nearly all. as translators. Full 2/3 of the revisionists have shown themselves singularly deficient, alike in their critical acquaintance with the language out of which they had to translate, and in the familiarity with the idiomatic requirements of their own tongue. This is the same charge that can be laid with the New International, New American Standard, New King James, and all the other ones. The paucity and scarcity of information on the Hebrew and the Greek language, as well as their own English language, their mother tongue. Bergon would have said the same today, and more so. They had a noble version before them. Does that sound like he's against the King James Bible? They had a noble version before them, which they have contrived to spoil. That is, these English Revised Version people, they have contrived to spoil in every page its dignified simplicity and essential faithfulness, its manly grace, and its delightful rhythm. They have shown themselves alike unable to imitate and unwilling to retain. Unwilling to retain, unable to imitate. And so with all the versions of perversions of our day. Their queer, uncouth phraseology, their jerky sentences, their pedantic obscurity, their stiff, constrained manners, their fidgety affectation of accuracy, their habitual achievement of English which fails to exhibit the spirit of the original Greek, are sorry substitutes, Lotus Way says, for the living freshness, the living freshness, and elastic freedom, and habitual fidelity of the grand old version. Praise God for the grand old version. Bergon was King James only, and only King James, and he never wanted to revise it, and that's an error in James White's book, among the hundreds of others that Dr. DeVito has uncovered. Habitual fidelity to the grand old version, which we inherited from our fathers, and which has sustained the spiritual life of the Church of England and of all English-speaking Christians for 350 years, add another 100 or so by now. The authorized version, wherever it was possible, should have been jealously retained. But on the contrary, every familiar cadence has been dislocated. The congenial flow of almost every verse of Scripture has been hopelessly marred. So many of these little connecting words which give life and continuity to a narrative have been vexatiously displaced, that a perpetual sense of annoyance is created. The countless minute alterations which have been needlessly introduced. They've counted over 36,000 changes just for change's sake from the English Revised Version of 1881, from the King James Bible of 1611. And these are needless, minute alterations, needlessly introduced into every familiar page, prove at least as tormenting as a swarm of flies to the weary traveler on a summer's day. I like that analogy, don't you? They are pesky, tormenting, swarm of flies to the weary traveler on a summer's day. You know, we saw a bug came on my neck as I came into the country of Canada and we were changing some money. You remember that little bug on my neck? And I said, "What is it?" She said, "Get out of the car. I want to get it." I got out of the car. She came over. She took that thing off. What was it? It looked like a bee, something like of a bug, a stinger. I said, "I would never say what we call them down there in our country. But we call these kind of, I don't know whether this was the kind of bug. We call them Canadian soldiers." Canadian, now that's a very serious smear against Canadians, I suppose. I don't know. But we call them, these were June bugs, you know, different things, down in Ohio, where we were. Anyway. Tormenting is a swarm of flies. If you're offended, please forgive me at that Canadian soldier. Do you call them the same thing? I don't know, maybe you do. These bugs that come out in the sun, they're June bugs, they live for 24 hours and then they die. They're ephemeral, just for a day. Tormenting is a swarm of flies to a weary traveler on a summer day. To speak plainly, the book has been made unreadable. We lay the reviser's volume down, convinced that the case of their work is simply hopeless. Amen. It's hopeless. And Dean Bergon would say the same for those of our day. Now, in the English Revised Version, the ERV disfigures the King James Bible. This is Revision Revised, page 227. Had the blemishes been capable of being reckoned up, that is, counted up, totaled up, it might have been worthwhile to try to remedy some of them. Just like these new versions of today. But when instead of being disfigured by a few weeds scattered here and there, the whole field proves to be sown over in every direction with thorns and briars above all, when deep beneath the surface, roots of bitterness to be counted by thousands are found to have been silently planted in, which are sure to produce poisonous fruit after many days. Under such circumstances, only one course can be prescribed. Let the entire area be plowed up, plowed deep. He says the same to the versions and perversions of the day. Our Dean Burgon, for whom our Dean Burgon Society is named, would have been a champion and a member and the active member of this society were he living today, standing as we stand for the King James Bible. And he would plow deeply all these other versions that have weeds and thorns and thistles, and he'd plow deep, and he'd be a fighter too, just like the rest of us. He'd stand firm and tall for our cause and our Bible. And let the ground be left for a decent space of time without cultivation. It is idle, worse than idle, to dream of revising with a view to retaining this revision. You know, when you throw out the baby with the bathwater, it's one thing. He wanted to throw out both baby and bathwater. The ERV was absolutely, totally salvageable. And he said, furthermore, it's not time for the King James Bible revision. Page 124, revision of revised. Enough has been offered by this time to prove that an authoritative revision of the Greek text will have to precede any future revision of the English of the New Testament. Program page 124. Now, in this book that we have listed here, our When Would Burgon Revise, the text was up this, we analyze from the revision revised all of his arguments, all the requirements, prerequisites, many of them, to revise the Textus Receptus. By the time we are finishing believing and following every one of his prerequisites, nobody, either in his day, was able to do it, and certainly not in our day, which is much more ignorant than any of the other days in which we live. They couldn't do it. And so our position as a Dean Burgon Society is to leave it as it is. Either do it Burgon's way thoroughly, completely, and nobody can do it that way, and they don't want to do it that way, and no other English revised version has done it that way, and no Greek text has done it his way. Therefore, we're going to stand firm until it's his way, and it won't be his way. We're going to stand firm the rest of our lives. Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible. But he says, you can't change English until you get the real revision a few places here and there, but they won't do it Burgon's way. Then notice, equally certain is it that for such an undertaking, that is future revision of the English, the time has not yet come. It is not my honest opinion, or Archbishop Ellicott, he's the chairman of the revisionist English Revised Version 1881, that for any authoritative revision, we are not yet mature, either in biblical learning or Hellenistic scholarship. Unquote. Well, if he wasn't yet mature, why did he chair the mission and the revision committee of the English Revised Version? That's what they did. They were told, as Dr. Hollywood read, don't revise too much, don't change the Greek text, and so on. They did everything. They changed the English, 36,000 places. They changed the Greek text, 5,604 places, by actual count. I counted them myself. The English Revised Version, what not to do. Here is an interesting example. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, God gave examples of his people of old, of the children of Israel, and they said these things happen to them for our examples, and they're written for our admonition, our warning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. God said all these evil things that happened upon my people of old are written for us today, and so that we not do what they did. Sometimes we can learn as much from a bad example as from a good one. And that 1 Corinthians 10, I believe this is a similar situation. What not to do? Their well-meant endeavors have provided an admirable textbook for teachers of divinity who will henceforth instruct their people to beware of the textual errors of the revisionists of 1881, as well as their tasteless, injudicious, and unsatisfactory essays in translation. That's what these who have tried to revise the English Bible or King James Bible should also look at and listen to in the New King James, the New International, New American Standard. This should be a textbook issue. To beware of their errors. Were they aware of the errors of 1881 in textual Greek? Not on your life. They swallowed the textual problem, hook, line, and sinker. Did the English Revised Version people use the and aleph? Yes, Vatican and Sinai, those two false Greek manuscripts. that were probably written in the neighborhood of the 4th century A.D., maybe 350 A.D.? Did they use those in 1881? Yes. Well, if we're going to have beware of the textual errors, would Dean Burgon say to use the same corrupt copies of B and Aleph, I can find that today? No, he'd say don't do it. Well, what have they done in the New International Version? They've used the same two corrupt copies. What have they done in the New American Standard Version? The same two corrupt copies. What have they done in the Revised Standard and the New English Version and all the others? The same two corrupt copies. And Dean Burgon was opposed to it. He sliced it up and spit it out, and he was against it from top to bottom, and his revision of bias proves it very clearly and very carefully. But we have not been aware, and we have not been beware on guard against textual errors, the revisions of 1881, as well as a tasteless, injudicious, and unsatisfactory essays and translation. If you've ever seen a translation, read a translation much of these new versions, I think you can agree that there's some tasteless, injudicious, and unsatisfactory essays as they translate. That's why someone said in the testimony in one of the messages today, I believe, or at the table, I don't remember which, that someone was reading the New International Version, and they were led of the Lord, I guess it was it Brother Bill, I don't know, led of the Lord to see that God told them that was not the Bible. And God told and showed them just from the way it was. It just didn't sound like the Bible. I remember a woman that came into my daughter's bookstore when she was there in the same bookstore in Florida, Pensacola, Florida. Her daughter Diane Crosby, mother of two little girls. And Diane was in that Christian bookstore, and the woman wanted the Bible. She said, "I would like the Bible." And the sales lady crowded out this version and that version, the other version. She looked at it and said, "No, I don't understand. I want a Bible." "A Bible," that's all she said, see? And Diane was there because she stands strong on the King James Bible. She, in fact, she gets all these tapes. She gets these videos. Her daughter, little Kristen and Megan, they listen to them and they stand firm to the King James Bible. It's a wonderful, precious gift to a father to have a daughter and my sons and some of the others to stand with their dad on this issue. It's a very great thing. But she couldn't help but get into the act. When that lady said, "I want a Bible," she said, "Well, ma'am, excuse me," she's a polite lady, she said, "she means she wants a King James Bible. Do you have one?" "Well, we have a few back in the, you know," back. She picked up in that room. She had to explain to the woman what a Bible was. See, the tasteless essay. The work of theirs will discharge the office of a warning beacon to as many as shall hereafter embark on the same perilous enterprise. That's what these men have done, and they haven't read the Revision of Isaiah. They don't even know it was written. And when I was going to school and seminary, and the other brethren as well, they didn't even tell us there was such a man as Dean John William Burgon. They didn't say there was anybody that fought with this terrible, terrible text for Westcott and Ord. It was put in our hands, it was put in our before our eyes, and we were told, "Read it and study it and learn your Greek from that text." That's what they gave us, the Dallas Seminary, 1948-52. The exact text. It wasn't a copy, it wasn't a Nestle Allen text, it wasn't a Suter's text, it wasn't a United Bible Society text, it was the Westcott and Ord text, pure and simple, exactly, quote unquote. All their omissions, all the changes, all the additions, it was there. The same perilous enterprise with himself. It will convince men of the danger of pursuing the same ill-omened course, trusting to the same unskillful guidance, venturing too near the same wreck-strewn shore. I like this image. Wreck-strewn shore. There's going to be many on hell shores, I'm convinced of it, because they have forsaken the Bible for the words of man. And that's a wreck-strewn shore indeed. The great scholar of 1611, Revision of Isaiah, page 190, notice what Dean Burgon says. The verb "I came" means to ask, to seek. Confessively means to ask. And perhaps no better English equivalent could be suggested for it. But then in a certain context, ask would be an inadequate rendering. In another, it would be improper. In a third, it would be simply intolerable. Notice this. Of all this, the great scholars of 1611 showed themselves profoundly conscious. They knew exactly the nuances. And all that word, the same Greek word, but in different context, a little bit different shade here, a little shade there, and so on. Instead of strictly saying, ask, sometimes request, sometimes demand, sometimes, and so on. profoundly the great scholars. Notice, was he for the King James Bible? He certainly was. Now the King James is a priceless treasure. Notice the stand that he takes on the priceless treasure. It will teach faithful hearts. This is what our King James Bible will do. Was he for the King James Bible? Did he want to revise the King James Bible? Was he a King James Bible only person? Should he be included in this chapter with us? Yes. He said that they wanted to revise both the King James Bible and the Greek text that underlies it. He said, oh, he's all right in that slight revision of the Greek text, but not the King James Bible. Dean Burgon was only for the King James Bible till he died. We'll see as we come through this. What will the King James Bible do? It will teach faithful hearts to cling the closer to the priceless treasure. That's our King James Bible, the priceless treasure. It's a holy Bible, a priceless treasure. It's a practical treasure, all these different things, which was bequeathed to them by the piety and wisdom of their fathers. It will dispel forever the dream of those who have secretly imagined that a more exact version, undertaken with the boasted help of this 19th century of ours, would bring to light something which has been hitherto unfairly kept concealed or else misrepresented. Not the least service which the revisionists have rendered has been the proof of their own, of their work, of the proof that their work affords. How very seldom are authorized versions materially wrong. How faithful and trustworthy, on the contrary, it is throughout. Precious, priceless treasure that God has given to it, and we must cling to it in order to be blessed by it. What does he say about the King James Bible as a habitual fidelity, and its habitual fidelity? Can you read this all over the room and all over there? You all right? Okay. I tried to make these things as big as I could. This is Revision Revised, pages 225 through 26. Here's what the English Revised Version people in 1881 had before them in their hands. They had a noble version before them. You can see when a man has only two basic versions he's dealing with in his day. Dean Burgon had only two basics: the English Revised Version of 1881 and the King James Bible of 1611. And when he fights and battles and wars and scraps against this revision and clings to the King James Bible, what do you call that man? He's a King James Bible man, isn't he? He stands for it. He exalts it. You know, James, would James White exalt the King James Bible like Dean Burgon? No. Would any of these New American Standard Versions exalt it like Dean Burgon? No. Would even these people that use, as mentioned before in one of these messages today, even these men in the Bible-believing colleges and universities that use the King James behind the sacred desk, and yet their Greek classes tear apart the thing, as in Babylon University and so on, they tear apart the Greek text that underlies the King James Bible, would even those people use the precious, priceless words that Dean Burgon uses for this King James Bible? I don't think so. But he was out and out. They had a noble version before them, which they contrived to spoil in every part its dignified simplicity and essential faithfulness, its manly grace, its delightful rhythm. They have shown themselves unable alike to imitate and unwilling to retain. We've quoted that before, but it's good to repeat. They're all sorry substitutes, notice, for the living freshness, the elastic freedom, the habitual fidelity of the grand old version which we inherited from our fathers and which has sustained the spiritual life of the Church of England, of all English-speaking Christians, for over 350 years. I know I used this before, but we repeat it. The authorized version, wherever it was possible, should have been jealously retained. King James Bible, Dean Burgon was for it, and he was against every known version in his day that was opposed to it. And there was only one of them, English Revised Version, but he was against that. He'd be against it today, these others. The Spirit was upon them. Notice what he says in this one, page 196 of Revision Revised. Who does not respond gratefully to the exquisite taste and tact with which bondmaid, the word bondmaid itself, has been exchanged for bondwoman by our translators of 1611 in verses 23, 30, and 31. Notice, verily, those men understood their craft. And he quotes from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 6. There were giants in those days. That's a good company to be in, isn't it? In a good sense. Giants in those days. We have pygmies and little people today, but Burgon called them giants. As little would they submit to be bound by the new cords of the Philistines as by their green whips. Upon occasion, they could shake themselves free from either. And why? Talking about these old giants, the King James Bible translators that gave us our King James Bible. Why could they shake themselves free from the bondage of Philistines? For the selfsame reason. Namely, because the Spirit of their God was mightily upon them. Unquote. That doesn't mean that Burgon thought the Holy Spirit of God gave the English words like Ruckman teaches and so on and so forth that supersedes the Greek and the Hebrew, even the italics and so on, that that was the exact, like a new revelation. Burgon believed it was a translation, but he did believe that the Spirit of God was leading these men that gave us our Bible, guiding these men. And the Spirit of their God was mightily upon them. And that's a good single stand to make. They not only were intellectually superior, but they were spiritually superior today to our men and the English revisers as well. Spiritual ability is a must for all interest in scriptural things. Intellect is not enough, as Brother Bill said. You can prove the resurrection. You can prove anything it's supposed to be. And the man said you could prove it. But if you could only prove it by logic and reason and intellectualism, you'd be in hell. It must be accepted by faith. And spiritual intuitiveness, spiritual discernment is a must for Bible-believing work in the Scriptures. And they had it. Well, what did you say about the King James Bible? A sacred bond. This is Revision of Eyes, page 113. Whatever may be urged in favor of biblical revision, it is at least undeniable that the undertaking involves a tremendous risk. Now notice, that's a risk. Anytime you touch something that's perfect and suitable and excellent and accurate and the Word of God in English, anytime you touch it, there's a risk involved. And I realize this illustration and analogy perhaps is not exact, but there is an element of truth in it. Uzzah wanted the best way he could to straighten out the ark of God. He had a motivation underneath him and behind him and for him that was sound and sane, and he thought sensible, but it was unscriptural. He had to lay hands upon that ark that was moving. Never should have put on a new cart to start with. Put on the shoulders of the priest. Carry it by shoulders. He thought he was doing a good work touching. And when we touch the Bible that God has given to us as any English-speaking people, God's Word kept intact in English, our King James Bible, I believe we've got a risk. I'll tell you what more we have. If these men who have touched these words and taken these priceless words out and blotted them out and silently revised them so that nobody knows they're gone, missing in, and talk about the MIAs, missing in action, we've got words that are missing in action. We've got sentences are missing in action. We have verses missing in action in these new versions. And we've got whole sections of Scripture. Mark 16, 9 to 20. John 7, 58 to 8, 11. 12 verses in each of those sections, missing in action. And we've got a risk, and I would not want to be at the judgment seat of Christ in their shoes, in their place, if they're believers. Some of these men undoubtedly are believers. I don't know that all of them are. I don't know whether all 100% are believers. But if they are believers, and are to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give account to that which they have done in their body according to what they have done, whether it be good or bad, I would not want to be in the position of laying hands on the words of the precious Scripture that they have laid hands on, destroying them, taking from the believers, and preaching from the housetops, from the false versions of their day. It's a tremendous risk, Burgon says, this biblical revision. That's what they've done. Our authorized version is the one religious link which at present, now he was writing in 1883, at present binds together 90 millions of English-speaking men. Many more millions today. Still binds us, does it not? The one version, the one Bible. Do you think the NIV is ever going to bind millions and millions of English-speaking people? Do you think it's going to be a New American Standard, a New King James? Versions have come and gone. The English Revised Version, you can't even buy it except in a second-hand place. They stopped publication. American Standard Version, 1901, which was the American position and the counterpart, out of print, as far as we know. Second-hand shops, different things. It won't be long before these others have bit the dust as well. Take a look at all the old-timers, all the old ones, down through the centuries. Why, it's hard to even buy a book that's up to date and a good book that's more than 3 or 4 years old. When the publishers stop making money out, they stop reprinting it, and they can't buy it. So do the Bibles. They will come and go. And it's the thing that binds up 90 millions of English-speaking people scattered over the earth's surface. Is it reasonable that so unutterably precious, so sacred a bond should be endangered for the sake of representing a certain word more accurately here and there, translating a tense with greater precision, getting rid of a few archaisms? Dr. Bob Doom needs our prayers. He has undertaken now, over these many years, 2 or 3 years, maybe 4, Brother Bob, to give us a King James Bible with the text inviolate, unaltered in the text itself. A few of the words that may be a little outmoded, a little different, difficult to understand, in the margin. That's all. So unlock all the treasures of the Word of God for 1995, 1996, 1997, and so on. Pray for him. He said he's already expended $10,000 on this project. He said he's got the Greek work done, or at least the part of it done in English from the New Testament, Matthew, Revelation. He's trying to get out something in the Gospel of John, perhaps, early. Pray for him. Because we don't need to have any getting rid of a few archaisms. Just put it there in the margin. Accurately. I don't mean like some of these new versions do, and they change it here in the margin. But accurately. And we should not endanger the unutterably precious sacred bond should be endangered for the sake of representing certain words more accurately, getting rid of a few archaisms. It may be confidently assumed that no revision of our authorized version, however judiciously executed, will ever. That was a long time, isn't it? You think that goes up to 1995? I believe it does. Will ever occupy the place in public esteem which is actually enjoyed by the work of the translators of 1611, the noblest literary work in the Anglo-Saxon language. Page 113, Revision of Rights. Do you believe Dean Burgon is for the King James Bible only? Do you think that's a misstatement in that book of the King James only controversy? Do you think that they should have revised that like I suggested and not include Burgon, not in the camp? You see, they're trying to take away the men and their works that we stand with and for. Well, one final slide. KJV rival translation. No KJV rival translation. Now, this is the final picture of Dean Burgon. Page 113, 114, Revision Revised. Is he for a revision? Does he want to revise the King James Bible or does he not? And if so, how is he going to do it? To be brief, Burgon was never brief. We have 5 books on the textual matter that we've reprinted as a Bible for today. The Dean Burgon Society has been discussing, should we reprint in a real book-type form, not just our little simple copy-type form, but a real book form of at least one of the books to start with. We had a committee meeting at once at supper time, and we've maybe decided on maybe one book, and we'll go with it. But Dean Burgon was never brief. 5 books, Revision Revised, Last 12 Verses of Mark, The Traditional Text, Causes of Corruption, Inspiration and Interpretation. 5 books on the text, which we've reprinted over almost 2,000 pages. Now, that's not brotherly. And then he got a biography, another almost 1,000 pages, almost 3,000 pages. We've put it back into print, either by or about Dean Burgon. He says, to be brief, as a companion in the study and for private edification, as a book of reference for critical purposes, especially in respect of difficult and controverted passages. As Dr. Dennis said, there may be some problems. Dr. Fuller always used to say that. They're not errors, they're difficult, problems. There's a whole lot of difference between an error and a problem. There's a whole lot of difference. Especially in respect to difficult, controverted passages, we hold that a revised edition of the Authorized Version of our English Bible, if executed with consummate ability and learning, that's a big if. Do you believe these new versions and proofs have been exercised with consummate ability and learning? I do not. If it was. Now let's just look at it. Then it would be at any time be a work of inestimable value. Now notice what he says. The method of such a performance, whether by marginal notes, this is what Brother Doom is trying to do with the King James Bible, a few marginal notes here with the meanings of different words that have been, there's only 500 or 600 words that have gone out of meaning since 1611. Did you know that? We have almost 800,000 words in our English King James Bible. 800,000, 790-some thousand words. To have only 500 or 600 that have changed their meaning slightly in all those years since 1611, that's a minute percentage, isn't it? He says, by marginal notes or in some other way, how to do it, we forbear to determine. But certainly, notice, only as a handmaid is it to be desired. If anybody knows what a handmaid is, it's a maid. If a maid starts taking over the house, she turns into something other than a maid. And we have some maids that try this. In fact, we've got a lady that came to our house, and I think she does sort of take over a little bit. Am I right, Mom? She's a lovely cleaning lady, but boy, I tell you, she's got her ideas, and we put things here, and she puts them there. And so on. And we're glad to have her come. She goes maybe once a week, once every other week. In fact, she came while we were here. And you better know the difference between a handmaid and the lady of the house. Amen. She knows that. And you better treat the lady of the house like the lady of the house, not like a handmaid. When you have your priceless treasure, our King James Bible, that's the lady of the house. You better not treat her as a handmaid like these versions and perverts. He said maybe by some other way, 2 minutes to go, my friends, I'll try to honor that. By marginal notes, in some other way, we forbear to determine. But certainly only as a handmaid, not the main lady, is it to be desired. As something intended to supersede our present English Bible, we are thoroughly convinced that the project of a rival translation is not to be entertained for a moment. That sound like he's a King James Bible only, forever? Is James White right or wrong? He's dead wrong, isn't he? Notice, for ourselves, we deprecate it entirely. We have in our name, Dean Burgon, a man who unequivocally not only stands against the false version of his day, English Revised Version, but stands for the King James Bible of his day, over 350 years old. And I'm sure the arguments were there as they are today. Oh my, isn't it antiquated? Can't understand it. Don't we need something new and fresh? Isn't it hard to understand? Strong, not only for, against the false version, but for his own version. We ask the question again, did Dean Burgon have his confidence in his King James Bible? He certainly did. And he had that confidence. And we want, as the Dean Burgon Society, to show forth and to radiate to those around us, Christians and non-Christians alike, that we do have confidence in our King James Bible. As the president of the society, the men have entertained and have given me the privilege of being their spokesman on the radio. We have some of the Bible for Today that help, but a lot of the station are Dean Bergen Society, and I try to honor that. And I always say in every broadcast, whether it's a 5-minute daily broadcast Monday through Friday, or whether it's a 30-minute broadcast, we now present the Bible for today. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible. Because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. It's the Bible today, yesterday, and tomorrow. And we praise God we have a Dean Bergen that stood with us. If he were living today, he would stand at our side and applaud and say, praise God for your standing position. It is my stand as well.